It's time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How you doing? Oh, that sounds amazing.
Good morning, Hornets fans. This is the Hive O'Clock Alarm. It's always easier to wake up, David, when the Hornets get a victory. Not only a victory, but probably the most important victory in franchise, or at least this section of the franchise history. Hornets beat the Heat 109-106. We're going to recap this game, but also I've got a ticket giveaway. More information at the end of this Hive O'Clock Alarm, so definitely stick around for this entire thing. Going to give away tickets to this Saturday's game at home against the Denver Nuggets, so stick around for that. But first, David, huge win for the Hornets, 109-106, and the Heat, they were not making this game easy.
No, we knew they wouldn't. I think you might be right. I mean, you don't want to overstate a regular season win, but just with all the factors, you know, in play here, the Heat on the road, what it meant for the division, just all the historical trouble this team has had, you know, playing Miami, especially down there. I think it's fair to say that it's up there with the biggest regular season wins. Certainly, well, I guess this iteration of the Hornets doesn't have any other wins. So it's a pretty big win for this team, and it felt really good. They did have to hang on, but, you know, you go down there and you get a win any way you can, Doug. So I think this team's got to feel very excited to now sit at, what, 39-29, I think?
Yes, that's correct. 10 games over 500. So, you know, even when you look back at both of the Bobcats' era runs in the playoffs, there wasn't this kind of winning. There wasn't this, I mean, they were never 10 games over 500. And so this team is definitely doing something special, and they're doing it in a different way with a lot of offense and enough defense. Let's take a look at the box score and check out some of the big stars. Nick Batum, 7 of 19 from the field, 19 points. He was only 2 of 7 from beyond the arc, David, but he hit some really tough buckets. That's the thing. Contested shots late in the second half. He did a great job. Kemba Walker, 7 of 18 from the field, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. Again, shooting over 40% from 3. That's what we've come to expect from Kemba Walker these days. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He's stuffing the stat sheet these days. But you have to go to the bench, the bench that we pointed out was struggling, that actually came through in the clutch in this one. Al Jefferson, 10 of 16 from the field at 21 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double for Al Jefferson, who had to fill in for Cody Zeller in I'm mixing my Hornets. Cody Zeller, sore knee. He heads into he had a great end of the first half, though. Cody Zeller knocking down some key buckets that helped the Hornets trim a 15-point deficit and turn that into a one-point surplus of points going into the half. But he had to sit because of a sore knee. Al Jefferson comes in and plays huge minutes in that second half.
Yeah, maybe don't throw dirt on Al Jefferson just yet, right? I think he's shown that he can still be a valuable part of this team. You know, it may not be every night, but I think that, especially going into the playoffs, I think it was, I think it was Rick Carlisle maybe that said, you know, no team's got somebody like that coming off the bench. And I think he's right. I mean, that's a big piece. For Al to come in there and still play like he had in the past years is big. And you mentioned Nick Batum. I mean, that's the Nick Batum that we thought we might see when we looked at this in the preseason. He's hit big shots before in Portland, was having more of the spotlight be on him here in Charlotte. And, you know, you're still seeing some of the turnovers here and there. And he's taken a few chances that make you raise your eyebrows at times. But, I mean, I think you take all of that, balances out with what he's doing on the court right now in a positive way, because he's hitting really big shots, especially down the stretch there. I mean, he was matching the Heat almost by himself at times, and he's still filling the stat sheet too, Doug. I mean, he's doing it all right now, giving you 30 points occasionally when you need it, but really it's filling the stat sheet up and helping this team in a variety of ways, which is huge.
Yeah, he found Kemba Walker for a huge three, his only assist of the game, but it was late in the game and it was at a big moment. And Clifford commenting after the game saying, you know, Jefferson came in at a time in the game when the Hornets were struggling to score. And, you know, sometimes it just takes one guy gritting it out and getting a couple baskets to get the team back into a rhythm. And so Jefferson helped that, forcing the Heat into, 15 turnovers. That helped as well. Now, they only scored 13 points on those turnovers, but they prevented the Heat from doing things that they wanted to do in the half court. Especially Dwayne Wade, who was 3 of 13 from the field, only 11 points, 3 turnovers. That was a key to the game for Justin during Hive Talk Live Thursday. Had to put a lid on Wade and not allow him to go vintage Wade. And certainly the Hornets did that. And then when you look at Hook,
do you think he was 100%? I mean, we mentioned it. I think he might not have played, or there was talk that he might not play. He didn't look all the way back to me, but I mean, it was a big game, so it didn't surprise me to see him playing.
Yeah, it's tough. I think he's obviously dealing with some injuries, but I think when you go into this type of game, and the Heat were really jazzed for this game as well, I think probably, you know, I think he had enough adrenaline running where I just think the Hornets, I mean, you look at the defense by Courtney Lee and Marvin Williams and others, it was a team effort on defense when it came to not only Wade, but Dragic, Richardson, Whiteside, Johnson really... Johnson and Ding had a favorable matchup against Kaminsky. And I think Rick Bonnell commented on Twitter, like, Kaminsky's never guarded a guy like Ding. And so when the Heat went small and put Ding on Kaminsky, that's when they really got their offense going. But yeah, I think Wade looked fine for what he is, you know, in this phase of his NBA career. I just think the Hornets did a great job of keeping him, you know, in front and not letting him get easy baskets. Because when we've seen Wade explode against the Hornets and countless other teams, it's because he's been able to get into the paint and get those uncontested layups, and that wasn't happening.
And get fouls. And that was key down the stretch, especially when they were trying to close it out, not fouling. I mean, I think they gave up a couple of layups there, but you just didn't want to foul. And he will get those calls, especially in Miami. So they did a good job of not fouling on those, which I thought was obviously big given time and situation there. So that was a good job. What'd you think of Justice Winslow switching onto Kemba there at the end? They were trying to give him some trouble, but I thought Kemba handled it pretty well.
Well, listen, Winslow played 31 minutes and only took 2 shot attempts. So if you're going to do that, then you better bring everything that you've got to the defensive end of the floor, and Justice certainly did that. See there, David, I'm getting it right. I'm making the switch.
Mm-hmm.
But Justice did a great job, not only on Kemba, but on countless other Hornets. I mean, he was their switching guy, and he could probably switch on to just about everyone on the court except for Al Jefferson. Jefferson was Hassan's responsibility. And it was funny after the game, Jefferson talking about, you know, Hassan is a great defender. He was giving Hassan plenty of credit, but he also said that Hassan is never, he rarely sees a guy like Jefferson on a night-to-night basis, because guys like Jefferson on offense are just rare, those really, you know, fine-tuned post-offense players. And so I think Jefferson took as like a challenge. Like, I'm going to give this Hassan Whiteside guy everything that he can handle underneath. And he did. Whiteside only had one block for the game. So they were
he made him jump out of the building too on that one pump fake.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that was vintage Al. You don't see that pump fake, and he's the master of it. It's funny to see Al still doing that, you know, and it still works. I don't think he can do that when he's in the nursing home, and it's still going to work.
Who would he be pump faking in the nursing home? Attendants trying to like get medicine in his mouth, and he just pump fakes him and then like, goes to the room.
Or maybe someone not like, or somebody else wants the Jell-O, and he's like, pumps it up, brings it down. We would be remiss, Doug, if we didn't mention Jeremy Lin.
Jeremiah Lin, and the free throws
at the end. Not a great overall game, but I mean, if you step up like that and hit those free throws with that crowd, you know, people give the Miami crowd a lot of guff, but they were making some noise, and those were huge, huge free throws. And Marvin had just missed two. So he came down and hit two free throws twice at the end of that game and sealed it.
Well, what it shows you is that the Hornets have a couple of guys in Jeremy Lin and Troy Daniels who can sit for a while and then come off the bench and be productive. And Lin's been doing it all season late in the fourth quarter, just coming up with either clutch free throws, getting to the line, or clutch baskets. And that's been his calling card, or that's been his safety blanket, is clutch moments when his shooting throughout the game has abandoned him, and it really has. The 3-point shooting has just completely fallen off the cliff for Jeremy Lin. But when you have a guy who won't quit, who keeps going, mm-hmm. who doesn't let it frustrate him, and he sat for so long in that game as the Hornets really got big and dependent on Al Jefferson for their offense, you know, it's just a really cool thing to see, and certainly something that you need in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what this team, that's what this team has put together, guys like that. One, that aren't afraid of the moment, and then two, that have some experience. Now, what was your take on the Lin Ding head bump, cut lip? Because I'm sure if you're a Heat fan, you saw that a different way, but I mean, to me, it was pretty clearly a foul on Ding with some extra contact there at the very end. How do you read that?
Yeah, I think Ding was going for the ball, ended up, they ended up bumping heads, and, mm-hmm. it looked like Lin zigged and Ding zagged, and normally the defender is going to get the call on there. I didn't see anything, too egregious on Lin's part. I mean, he was aggressive, and he wanted to clear out and make sure and that's a crucial time of the game. So if you get a board, you want to make sure you're maintaining possession, especially against a team like the Miami Heat that loves to, on those scramble type situations, loves to turn that into, a turnover and a bucket. So I just thought it was an aggressive play.
Yeah. Yeah. I think not swinging the elbow, swinging the head is what you want to do.
That's right. Well, because
call that elbow.
Well, because look, I mean, let's be honest. If you swing an elbow and hit someone's head, they're getting the worst for the wear. If you go head to head combat, then at least both of you are going home with a pretty serious bruise. So it's hey, to what turnabouts fair play.
One other thing, Doug, it felt like everyone that went in there did give a contribution. Though, I mean, even all the way down to Tyler Hansborough, who had 6 minutes in there and filled a role. And as well, Frank Kaminsky, who I thought hit a couple of big buckets when he was in there on offense. So they contributed. Jeremy Lamb did not contribute anything for the fourth or fifth time. I don't know. It's third time this week at least. So
yeah, I mean,
that's becoming a real thing.
Yeah, he continues to look at Troy Daniels. And again, Troy sat for a long time as well. The Hornets played, major minutes, gave major minutes to their starters. This was a really important game, a playoff-like atmosphere. And you go, if your starters are playing well, you got to go with your starters in this kind of game. So that's where you see that. I mean, this was essentially an eight-man. Troy got eight. Tyler got six, but this was essentially an eight-man rotation with Jefferson, Kaminsky, and Lin coming off the bench. So, big, huge win for the Hornets. Now 39-29, and there's some tiebreaker situations. I don't think they're technically the three seed right now because of tiebreakers, but they have a plenty of opportunity to better their seeding as they move forward. And of course, the next game Saturday at home against the Denver Nuggets. A Denver Nuggets team that has struggled this season in many areas. So the Hornets, again, faced with a team at home that they should beat. We'll see if they can do it. For more coverage of that game, make sure to check out atthehive.com. Okay, real quick before we go, ticket giveaway. I've got two tickets, lower levels, that we're giving away here on the show. And here's what you have to do. You've got to go on to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and write a review. And in the review, you can put whatever you want. Tell us what you think of the show. Doesn't have to be long. Just make sure you include your Twitter handle. Twitter handle. You got to have a Twitter handle. Include that in the review on iTunes. 5-star. and we'll hook you up with some lower levels. So go do that if you haven't already. And thanks for listening, and thanks for all the support that you guys give on. It helps us get up in the morning and do these 5 o'clock alarms. And it's an exciting time, David. The Hornets are winning basketball games, and not only basketball games, but really big situation basketball games, and that's not a given. You know, I know it's. I said this on Twitter, David. It's hard to believe because of the past, and this came kind of suddenly. I mean, this whole winning big games, shooting three-pointers, it just came. It was just a wave of players that Cho brought in, and it's completely changed the game for the Hornets. And it's hard to believe sometimes, but this is a legitimate threat. This team is a legitimate threat in the Eastern Conference, and we have to start living in that reality, I think. Fans don't want to let their guard down and be disappointed, but I think it's time to get on board with this team.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to see Cho and Clifford and maybe some other guys get some credit in postseason voting and get some recognition that way. One last thing here, Doug. Over the last 10 games, there are three teams in the NBA that are 9-1. The Warriors, the Spurs, and your Charlotte Hornets. Now, you know, you may be able to look at the schedule and compare those. I haven't looked at those two team schedules, and we know this team has been at home and has not had the toughest schedule, but 9-1 in the last 10, only three teams in the NBA to do that, Doug, and they had to have it. I mean, we talked about how big this homestand was. They knew it going in, and they've delivered and came back with a huge win in Miami. So I think you're right. It's time to get excited.
Huge win, and despite March Madness going on, I felt like the best basketball game on TV last night was in the pros, and it was this Hornets Heat game. Maybe you could maybe argue that Providence USC game, because at least those teams put up. It was a close game, go ahead bucket with less than 5 seconds, and
spoiler alert, Doug. Some of us went to sleep.
Oh, sorry. Well, what are you DVRing March Madness games? Come on, this isn't Netflix. Like, you know, watch the game or look at the box score. But anyway, yeah, Providence.
I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna watch that game.
Well, Providence moves on, and they'll play our alma mater, UNC. But so that was and they actually shot the ball well. That's the thing. It can be a close game. It cannot be a close game in college. But the only way you can argue it with me is if, you know, at least one team shoots over 40%, and one team has to take, you know, at least 10 three-pointers. Because if they're not doing that, then I don't want to watch. So that was like one of the few really good games from last night's college basketball offerings. But I think the Hornets Heat, way better. I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of the pro game. And so I think the Hornets Heat game illustrated why you could make arguments for the pro game.
It was fun. It was a fun time out there.
All right, fans, thanks so much for listening. Again, iTunes, 5-star review. In the review, put your Twitter handle. We'll get you hooked up with some tickets to the Hornets Nuggets game on Saturday, 6 o'clock p.m. is that tip. Go to atthehive.com for a full preview of that game. Until next time, folks, all hail the teal and purple.